Sorry.
That's
Harry. Where's Chip?
I need an alternative.
You introduced Chip the last show, and now he's nowhere to be seen.
Patreon pick. This is
Have we done Lacuna Coil before?
We did one Lacuna Coil song before.
Did we not like it?
We didn't really like that much.
Okay.
So this then biases me against this song.
Oh no. Okay.
But I can be converted.
We can be.
It's
happened before.
Shout out to the big homie Kanye West. God almighty. He's talking to Trump. He's like, my Make America Great Again hat. There's Chip. My Make America Great Again hat gives me yada 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 yada. Makes me feel like Superman. Huh? I was like, no shit.
That's interesting.
Okay, Kanye, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Alright. So this is a Patreon pick. So Patreon, you have alliances. This is from Pony's group, the Core Goddesses group. If you want to be part of a Patreon alliance, all you have to do is you get in it for $1.
Yeah.
There's a $1 tier, $5 tier. Depends on how many points you get. You pool your points, and then you get selected to make a song request.
Yeah, everybody pools their points together, and then that's how you get your song bumped to the top of our list.
So reach out to Damon Sage, Pony, Matthew Winter, Andrew Legary, I think his name is. So there you are. So Lacuna Coil. So this group got their points up. Lacuna Coil, a House of Shame.
Mm-hmm.
And let's do it.
Okay.
Ready? Nope. Let's listen.
Burn me! Breath to seek the steam ball, born to live!
Well, I like that.
I hope that doesn't get blocked. It's a good lyric video.
I know, yeah.
Inshallah, inshallah. Okay, so the House of Shame. What do you think the song's about?
I don't know. They were locked outside of my faith. It looked in the video like it was an asylum or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what it is.
Well, it looks like it's called the House of Shame, so it's probably... The video was kind of sick. Like, was it the girl at the end? Like, she was
what?
A little girl. She was, like, covering her face. She was crying or something like that.
Yeah.
It's a pretty spooky video, actually.
Yeah.
The video was kind of spooky.
Oh, I would agree with that.
There's that movie, Heredity.
Yeah.
It's like a thriller slash horror movie.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you want to take a shot at it tonight. I don't know.
Yeah, that one was really scary looking, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe.
See, we got...
I like a little scary in my life sometimes.
Tomatoes it has on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright. So, let's... First of all, what did you think of the song overall? Did you like it?
I did. And I really liked her voice when she would go really high like that.
Yeah.
That was really cool. Like...
Yeah.
I like it when people kind of, like, push their...
boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell she was at the edge.
Yep.
She's no flaw.
Yep. But I like that. I like the sound of, like, I'm, like, really reaching here.
Yeah.
I like the sound of people hitting it, like, no problem, too. But I also like, that's brave. Do you do that live?
I like this song a lot,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, me too.
Actually, I like this song a lot. So, I'm not sure... who wrote the lyrics here? The dude seemed like he was really invested in what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Burn me. So it's run, rise, burn me, reducing the stigma, born to live in this house of shame. Born to live in a house of shame. What?
Burn me, reducing the stigma? How does burning them reduce the stigma?
Well... there's an undertone of religion here.
Oh, I'm so nauseated right now. Sorry. I saw that.
While I dig the grave on my path to find faith, you weren't there while I was dying.
Yeah.
You're the reason I'm feeling so deranged. I will stay here and haunt you forever.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like... So, House of Shame seems to me to be like, okay... when you are in a household and you have certain family traditions or family secrets or whatever that are bad,
yeah,
you almost never really leave the house because it follows you wherever you go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're always there. Burn me, reducing the stigma means it's kind of like the punishment for being the disgrace to the family. Because I remember... like,
oh,
see what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
Because you're out there and you're causing disdain or a stigma to the family.
Right. So burn them, meaning you just roast that person, burn them,
right.
Punish them so that way it
so
reduces
they don't do it
the
again.
Stigma that's on the entire family. Because right. if you don't like go all out on that person, then people are going to think, well, the whole family's whacked.
Right.
But if you're like, then they're like, oh, okay, well, it's just that one. But, well, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, in some ways, weird to me. Yeah. Like these, you know, you talk about it sometimes. Like, why do you care about what people outside of your family say about your family? Like, why is that so important? But I know that I'm the one that's like off the reservation here because everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but growing up, there was a lot of talk about that because, you know, my family was in, you know, a decent sized church and everybody looked up to my family as like we were up on some pedestal, you know? So we had certain expectations that we were expected to live by. And it seemed like it was a lot, like, I'm not even sure if my parents communicated this or if I understood this from what they were saying, but I felt like my behavior was either shame or honor to them. So there's a lot of shame honor culture within my family, I think. And so, you know, depending on, you know, so if we'd go out to eat and like we were always really polite, like my parents like taught us manners and how to behave in a restaurant. Like we weren't going to be loud in a restaurant or running around and stuff like that. So then we'd go to a restaurant, please and thank you. You know, we were little kids and we'd be like, you're a nice waitress, you know, stuff like that. And then of course everybody's like, when kids are polite, it's always like shocking to people because people just let their kids do whatever. So then they'd say, wow, you guys have a really nice family. Like, and then, you know, we'd leave. My parents would say, that's really good. Like, you made us proud and blah. So then you always wanted to, like, maintain that. So, and that was based on, okay, people from the outside said we did well. And so my parents said we did well. And I want to do well. So the way to do well is by making everybody else happy.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, they'd say, you embarrassed me in front of my friends and or in front of those people. You embarrassed us. I'm like that with the kids.
Yeah, you are.
You know, it's hard for me to not like...
You're like that.
You know, you're all up in your PJs. It's 11 o'clock, 12, 1 o'clock. I'm like, can you get dressed?
So that you won't be embarrassed?
Yeah, because I feel like it reflects on my parenting that, you know, my kids are 2 o'clock in the afternoon still in their PJs. Yeah, see, that doesn't affect you at all. You got bedhead. Brush your hair, babe. Brush your hair. You know?
Weird. Okay. All right. So then... Person's messing up the family name, the house of shame. So then you roast them to reduce the stigma. And of course, while I dig the grave on my path to find faith, you weren't there while I was
dying. I don't
know
what that means, but it sounds really sad.
He's obviously comes back from a religious household. There's a lot of shame that goes with religion. If you don't explain Christianity properly to people, then you just hang that over them and just basically blackmail them with shame their whole life. That's why they, you know, that's kind of the control for the song because it's called House of Shame.
Yeah.
And so because, you know, I'm assuming these people, you know, it was like Jonathan Edwards.
Yeah, I see what's going on.
You know, where like his wife had a child and like the people in the church like retroactively clocked back at the pregnancy. It was like, oh, you had sex on a Sunday because the Sunday was the Sabbath.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
what
Sunday.
What's wrong with people?
Like, so this guy was like an amazing preacher, revivalist, did a lot of good for the gospel. And, like, they were just terrible.
I know people that would do that.
Oh, for sure. You know, and they were terrible to her. And it was like, oh, you guys had sex on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to have sex on the Sabbath. Of course, there's nothing in the Bible that says that.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Jesus says, you know, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.
Right, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, there's not. I understand. So, like, just weird, just strange shit that people just, like, use religion to play shame on people, and then you know. But that's why it's just hard for me to be like, I could care. Why do you care what anybody thinks of you? It's like, you know, you and God are good, so who cares? Yeah, we had sex on the Sabbath. Like, who cares? But if you're controlled, if you're controlled by religious institutions, they could really fuck you up.
Yeah.
And like make you walk in shame, and then you do stuff to your kids or your household.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with trying to discipline them or give them ethics or morality or a sense of anything. It's just about how you look in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole experience with God and religion was killing him.
Yeah.
You know, while I dig the grave and on my path to find faith, like he was dying, he was killing him.
Mm-hmm.
You're the reason I'm feeling so deranged, I'll stay here and haunt you forever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's what I mean, that's what happens, I think, to a lot of people.
What do you mean?
You know, before you get to the point where you say, okay, I don't care what you think anymore. Although I care, but I can't let it rule me anymore. Because it's literally making me deranged, you know?
It seems to me, though... Go ahead,
do you think that... because you always had, like, chaos elements in your life. Like, there was... You couldn't look like the perfect family. There was always, like... You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but Jamaican parenting was very much about...
So, yeah, that was considered more normal there.
Yeah, it was, Jamaican parenting was always about how you looked and, you know, not being embarrassed and all this stuff, so.
So there was some of that, too, there.
There was a lot of it with my mom. And, you know, Jamaican, Caribbean parenting, you go straight to violence. So, like, you know, all this shit.
When you tell me that the neighbor would hit the kid, and then you hit the kid because they shamed you and the neighbor had to hit him.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
All this shit where little cute little Tommy is yelling at his mom and shit in the the store
that wasn't
throwing
happening.
The cereal and all that shit. Look, you know, I remember one time, like, little Tommy was doing that shit, and I was walking to the store, and I was looking, I was like, this fucking guy. I was just looking at the guy, I couldn't believe it. Like, what the fuck is wrong with this
kid?
Were
you thinking at first the kid's gonna get it, and then
I said, he's gonna die, he's gonna expire. There's no, because I'm thinking what would happen.
Right.
All of a sudden, whap! I'm like, what the fuck? I didn't do anything. She said, don't you dare even think about it.
Ah, like, oh my gosh.
Okay. All right. But yeah, I mean, it was very much that. So I don't know what was the point of that question. You always grew up in chaos, so.
No, I'm just thinking, you know, like, because like my family, we didn't look chaotic. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So then there's more pressure to be a certain way. But that would have never happened. Like my parents would have wound up and hit me in public. Like that wouldn't have happened.
Oh yeah. It is.
Like I think my sister got hit once in public.
Jamaican
because,
parents will fuck you up anyway.
Yeah, no, that doesn't
matter.
That
does not matter.
One time, my sister got hit in the store because she was picking up on the fact that when they were in public, she could act like a brat and like she was flipping out. My mom was trying to get her out of the store. She does a wet noodle, you know, like the whole nine. And so my mom was like, and spanked her, you know. But my parents were always
underhanded.
Afraid. Yeah.
Like softball.
You know, my parents were always afraid that, like, you know, like, those theories that, like, oh, the government's going to come in and they're going to take your kids for... And, like, I remember, like, when my daughter was little thinking, oh, my gosh, like, I was, like, paranoid about that, too. But then I ended up actually going for, like, I was thinking about doing, like, adoption or, you know, stuff like that. And there are, like, I mean, you can't abuse your kid. But, you know, they say you can, spanking is still legal within our state and stuff. So I was like, oh, okay. But still, like, there was always that fear. So my parents wouldn't have hit us in public. It was when we got home.
My mom never had that fear.
No.
Not a scintilla. She'd say, you want to call DHS? You want to call DHS? Me on, come.
Oh, my God.
One thing you want to call DHS? Please.
Oh, my gosh.
The fuck out of here. You're the reason, but I feel like, you're the reason I feel so deranged I will stay here and hunt you for. I think he's personifying a ghost to some degree. Because he says, born to live in this house of shame, right?
Yeah.
And then he says, I'll haunt you, I'll stay here and haunt you forever. So
well, it says you weren't there while I was dying.
Dying, right.
So.
Right. So I think he dies but in the.
I think that do you think that they literally died, or do you think that they lost it? Like they lost it completely, so now they're like, their lost itself is gonna haunt them. You know what I mean? Or do you think that the person literally died? You see what I'm saying? Like
well,
maybe their body is still in the asylum or whatever. But
he's saying me. So I'm assuming it's him. I'm assuming this is autobiographical. So I don't think that they literally died. But
yeah.
I think in the song, he's personifying a ghost. That you could personify a ghost and say, yeah, that's me. There's a part of me that died my
childhood.
Right,
that's what I'm saying.
My childhood or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Without saying that he literally died.
Right.
That's why I said personifying.
Yeah.
I don't think that he is. But it works if he's a ghost. Like, I was dying, blah, blah, blah. Now I'm dead, so I'm going to haunt you forever. And then here comes the girl. Why always staring into the light? If I don't hide inside the darkness, you'll be compromised. But sometimes you will fly with me again without falling.
Oh. Am I misunderstanding that?
How are you taking it?
This is the person that's being stuck off to the side because, so as not to shame the family, the one that's, you know, being burned. If they're saying, if I don't hide inside the darkness, like the family is saying, why are you always staring at the light? Like, because they want to get out of it. They don't want to stay in that place. But he's saying, well, if I don't hide in the darkness, then the whole family is going to be compromised. But sometimes you will fly with me again without falling. Like maybe he or she thinks at some point, like you guys are going to come around and like, we're going to fly together. Like maybe it's like hope. Oh.
Do you think that's what it means?
Very possible.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, it's very possible.
You know, because I knew this, like, this man, he had, like, he didn't have a good relationship with his mom. His mom was very overbearing and never, like, you could never really attain to that. You know when parents are, like, works-based mentality?
Yeah.
So it's all about your performance. So you can never, like, if it's about your performance, well, today you can perform good, but tomorrow you can suck because you're a human being, you know?
Sure.
So you never feel like you're satisfied within the love of your parent. So it was like a whole lifetime of that, you know? But there was always that hope, you know? And eventually when his mom died, because it never, like, never really got that, when his mom did die, it was one of those situations where that was almost more what he was mourning, was that that will never, like, hope died. Like, he knew his mom was going to die, and, like, that was sad, but that wasn't what bothered him the most. It was that hope was gone. So I wonder if it's, like,
Yeah, I mean, parent-child relationship is really a powerful, painful thing.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, good Lord.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, we're reading stuff into it, maybe, but it seems like that's what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
Rise, read my words, run, mark my words. I wonder if that's God. Could be God, or the whole thing could be a note where it's like, finally listen to what I actually have to say.
Yeah.
Because in those type of family systems, a person who's a troublemaker is generally the last person that's actually listened to.
Mm. Yeah.
Or it could be God saying, hey, read my words. I didn't intend this for you. Because he keeps talking about his faith. I'm bedridden here, locked outside of my faith. Incurable, captured by time.
Don't you think that that's weird? It says rise, read my words, run. Rise and run. Neither one of those you can do if you're bedridden, locked
right.
inside
right.
of my faith.
So that's good. So then that's definitely God. Right? Rise, read my words.
Run, mark my words.
So... and he's saying, I can't.
Mm.
I'm locked outside of my faith. So it seems like...
I don't think this is where this band was going, but it makes me think about... Remember that story of the man that was on his mat? And there was like a pool where they would... What?
Yeah, John 5.
Yeah, where they would like go into the pool like God would like stir the water of uh-huh. that pool, and whoever the first person in was the one that would get healed.
Right.
And this guy... But you had to have somebody that cared for you to help you get in the water. If you were bedridden, you had no way of getting in when the water stirred. And so Jesus came by and, like, didn't he, like, ask him?
What do you want me to do for you?
Yeah. Tell me the story. And
he said, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, sir, I'm trying to get into the water, but every time the angels stir the water, somebody comes in front of me. And Jesus says, get up and take up your mat and walk. Of course, the religious people, to bring this full circle, said, it's the Sabbath.
It's Sunday.
So no sex on the Sabbath and no mat.
There's Sabbath of Saturday, but yeah.
No mat.
No healing.
No caring.
No picking
no
up
healing.
Your...
Right. You gotta... Anyway, but, yeah. Well, I think you're probably right. Because his mat basically functioned on his bed. So mm-hmm. rise, read my words, run, mark my words.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bedridden. I can't.
And the reason that I can't, I'm locked outside my faith.
Yeah, he's crippled. He can't do it. Incurable, captured
like,
by time.
If you're being ostracized by your family, and you're locked in this dark place, and you're also outside of faith, like, you can't find faith in that place. Like, how dark is that darkness, you know?
Yeah. That's a good line, captured by time. It's like, it's happened, it's gone on for too long. And some people, that they feel like if it...
I'm incurable now.
If I'm this bad for X amount of years, chalas, that's it. And of course, that's not our message, but I also think that there's people that feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting, like, if we're right, he's still relating to God. This is powerful here. Because
mm-hmm.
this counts as a prayer. You know, I always tell people,
so
like,
then do you think that the
there's
top
lots
part
of things
be?
That count as prayers.
Why always staring into the light? So could that be God also?
I don't know, because I don't think he'd be telling God, he'd be compromised.
Well, if he's locked outside of his faith, honey, he could think anything when you're locked outside of your faith. You could think, well, I'm going to make God look bad. Like, there were so many times that I thought that when I was growing up. Oh my word, I can't really tell people that I struggle with being a lesbian because I'm going to make God look bad. Mm. So I'll compromise you if I come out in the light. You know? But sometimes...
Well, if it's God, then you'll fly with me again without falling.
Yeah.
That's deep. Well, it's
probably...
Do you
think that could be what it is, though?
It's probably...
Or are we just going way too deep here, man?
It could be his dad, because Icarus flew with his dad.
The wax.
And he got too high to the sun, and then too close to the sun, so he fell. So, but sometimes...
But we're still looking at it as a father-child.
A father-child, yeah.
Yeah, so...
You will fly with me again without... Which could be a double entendre with his... Because God is a father, right?
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, okay. Well, then if the reference is Icarus, why always steering into the light? Icarus got too close to the sun, and that's what ended up fucking him up, right? If I don't hide inside the darkness, you'll be compromised because Icarus, you know, his dad told him don't go there. So some strange thing with his relationship with his dad and how his desire for, you know, his career, rock stardom, whatever it is, got him judged by people in his community.
No.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Maybe.
You will fly with me again. That's interesting. You know, if it's a son to a father, you'd figure it'd be like, I will fly with you. Mm. But you will fly with me kind of implies that the father left the son type of thing. Mm-hmm. Left him alone. Because he says, when I was struggling, you weren't there.
Right.
So it's like, maybe, which is even worse.
Yeah.
It's even sadder. You know, the idea that the dad... Because it's usually the kid saying, fuck this, I'm leaving. You know, the whole prodigal son thing. But it's exceptionally painful when your dad leaves you.
Yeah.
And then the son is saying, maybe we'll be able to fly again with each other. I was talking to one of my buddies and his dad watches him, you know. And he's like, nothing better than your dad, you know, seeing you.
And being proud of you.
Yeah. And I was like, shit, that was a... interesting moment, because I was like, that's interesting. Because I don't know what that's like, but I was glad that he had that. And that's, me and Dorian, we talk about football and stuff. And,
yeah.
You know.
That's true. Neither one of our dads know about our channel.
Well, yeah, not even the channel, just in general. I don't have a relationship with my dad, so he doesn't know anything about the channel. Period.
Okay, so take my soul. Can you scroll up? Was that the next part?
I told you to leave me alone.
Father?
No, I think the son is still talking. I think he's still talking. I told you to leave me alone. Oh. The best one would be if it's God. Because that's what happens. He doesn't leave you alone.
All the way to me.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And then he basically gives
up. Well, sometimes it feels like he leaves you alone, but...
I've never had that experience. He's always been, like, right there. The time.
I would say he's always been there, too, but there were times where I didn't think he was. But hindsight, I'm like, no, he was. But you're saying even in the moment, you've always known in every moment that he was there.
Yeah, I've never felt he wasn't there. I've always... My big problem with God a lot of times was trying to, like, get away from him or ignore him. Mm-hmm. I always felt, like, stalked down, but not in, like, a...
In a creepy...
Well, if any human would have related to me that way, I'd be like, the fuck is wrong with you? Mm-hmm. But it's God, it's different. There's always just been this, like, you know, mm-hmm. presence of God. I've never really had those, like... Trying to figure it out, but this has been more my thing. Leave me alone. And he says it four times because it's like, yeah, mm-hmm. you know. So I've never had that, you know.
It's funny. I told you to leave me alone. Then he says, take my soul.
Right.
Well, you can't take it if you're alone. You know what I'm
right.
saying?
Right. He doesn't really mean it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you will find me there again, without mourning. Ooh. Sometimes you will fly with me again. Without falling. It's a good line. What do you got from that one? I just think it's about the relationship. I was going to say,
yeah, when it comes back, it would be mourning. Well, no, not mourning. Mourning is like a loss, but like, there would be tears, but I think it would be different.
Yeah, yeah. It's a circumstance. It just seems like the circumstances of their relationship were pretty acrimonious, and and he's looking forward to a day when they'll be able to relate to each other without all the jihad, which is kind of like how I was with my mom, you know, like we were just, you know, just wasn't meant for this world, I guess.
I was gonna say, I'll never see you in heaven. I'll be like, where's Vin? I'll be like, is it his mom?
Yeah. Some relationships, I guess, are just, yeah. But, you know, inshallah, it worked out for this guy and whoever it was, you know. Mm-hmm. So, good song.
I wonder if this is a concept album. Stop, babe. No,
it's
rolling.
Not. I don't
think. Can you scroll? Look at the... Keep going. To the things. Broken Things, Delirium, Blood, Tears, Dust, Take Me Home. It might be. Let us know if it is.
I hate you. I doubt it very highly.
My dude, claustrophobia. All sounds like a lot of good titles.
I don't really think any title sounds like a bad title. I've never heard a bad title for a song.
Really?
Yeah.
The next time I see a bad one.
We've reviewed like 400 plus videos. How many of them like, that was a dumb title?
Well, number 7, You Love Me Because I Hate You. It's kind of long.
I don't think that's a bad title. What do you give the song?
9.8. I feel like I'm passing out a lot of 9.8s. What are you giving it?
It's a 9.5. Good song, very good lyrics, very thoughtful lyrics, very sad, I think, but very, very good. Mm-hmm. Good job. But this is what I'm talking about. Like, people are like, oh, you came into the song with a bias with the other band. Mm-hmm. Of course.
You came into this one with a bias.
We said.
And look at it.
We said we had the bias. So this is no. But we don't. That's the thing, is like, I'm not going to pretend that I don't have a bias. I don't believe that that's possible.
Right.
I do have a bias. When I listen to a Metallica song, I'm biased to think it's going to be good. Mm-hmm. That's what the term disappointed means. Disappointed, you know, if you say that you never have biases, that means you're never disappointed. Mm-hmm. Because what disappointed means is that you thought X was going to happen and then X happened in the bad way. Conversely, you'd never be surprised because you thought X was...
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous that people are trying to make themselves to be androids or computers or something like that. I came into this song thinking it was going to be weak sauce because the other one was. Mm-hmm. But this song converted me. It's a good song. I liked it. I liked the lyrics. I liked the musicianship. Mm-hmm. I liked the melody.
And the conversation we had as a result of it.
This is a deep, deep conversation. I liked it. Good song. Good on you. What did I say? 9.5 is what I said? What'd you got? 9.8?
9.8.
Then out.
Three out.
Gone.